This is Robert Martellacci, the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology e-magazine. I'm here at EdCamp TO, and I have the good fortune of having a Mindshare Learning moment with Alana Benari, the founder of 21 Toys, and she was recently featured in the Times magazine as one of the top most promising new technologies in education. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, Alana.
Thank you, Robert.
Well, we've crossed paths in the past. Your colleagues attended our conference and finally get a chance to have a Mindshare moment with you. I'm honored and humbled as the meeting up with the founder of 21 Toys. What a fascinating journey you've had. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about what inspired the innovation and how that's evolved for you.
Absolutely. So the feature in Time Magazine was actually about our empathy toy, which is the first in a series of toys that we're designing. So the empathy toy actually was my thesis project in school. I'm an industrial designer. And it was originally designed with the Canadian National Institute for the Blind as a tool to get visually impaired students to connect with their sighted classmates, both by developing a language around navigation, but really trying to walk in, walk a mile in each other's shoes by getting blindfolded and playing a 3D puzzle. The toy's come a really long way since then, because through most of my testing was actually done in my studio. So many adults who were sighted were playing it, and I realized this is just as rewarding and challenging for people of various ages and abilities. So we've spent about the last year turning that student project into a real learning tool.
It's always fascinating when you have an idea that the road isn't always direct, and it's as an entrepreneur and startup founder, you have to be open to evolving and not be so hard and fast on the direction you're going. And it probably speaks a little bit about your success you've had of late.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite funny because the toy at the beginning, I thought, you know, absolutely, I believe that this is a really important tool to be used in the classroom. But I didn't necessarily think I didn't know if teachers were ready. I didn't know if schools would be interested. And our first customer, you know, our first real ambassadors was a school board in Toronto, which was the Dufferin-Peel Catholic District School Board. And so we thought,
where my kids were schooled, by the way, might add.
A fantastic coincidence. So we were very excited about it, but I still thought, okay, well, you know, this might be a fluke, who knows? So we actually ended up getting toys into about over 50 schools in our first year. But then I really wanted to go back, and so us and our team kind of went back and wanted to say, okay, is this actually being used? And what we discovered was that while we'd created these guidebooks to use the toys to teach bullying, conflict resolution, and teamwork, that the way that we were thinking the toys we used was actually quite limited. And teachers said, yeah, we use it for bullying, and then the science teacher borrowed it. And now we're using it for design thinking, and the theater teacher is using it. So we discovered it's not just a toy that lets you kind of practice and talk about empathy, but it's actually, because it's a physical toy, it's a tool that lets teachers be a lot more creative in the way that they actually provide their lessons.
I sense that this is first of a series coming.
Yes, this is first of a series. So the empathy toy, I kind of focus on empathy because it's not only the basics of communication and collaboration, but it really is the backbone of design and innovation, especially the business community now is even talking about it being a key skill in business. But the next toy we're working on is actually a toy for failure, a toy that's going to teach failure as a skill. And we have a lot of toys kind of under our belt that we'd really like to start.
And on that note, it's so important. I coach my daughter's hockey team, and I encourage our players to don't be afraid to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a proponent of repeating them. So it's interesting that you're going down that path.
Yeah, so with much like the empathy toy, the failure toy says, you know, this is a skill, so we need to talk about it. It's something that is going to come up daily. It's going to come up in your life. And if we don't talk about it, you're going to kind of be navigating it yourself, especially when it comes to failure. Some people just have that instinct. They can fail or they can try something and they can move on. While others, maybe, you know, there's a stigma around it.
And learn from it.
And so we kind of talk about it in two stages, right, which is understanding that failure is just part of learning. Right. But once you get the grasp that failure is part of learning, then you're in a completely different level. Now you can start using failure to your advantage. If you understand how failure works, you can use that to create and to innovate.
Absolutely.
And to really push yourself so that you can really grow.
I'm so impressed with the concept and the toys, the parts here that I see, and the fact that it's been an organic growth for you and award-winning. You've been asked to speak a lot. Perhaps you can talk a little bit about that and how you must have been somewhat surprised by the success and kind of blindsided in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I believe in it a lot. But again, like, I right away actually was quite lucky that I was asked to give a TEDx talk on the toys. And I think that kind of got the word out there at that point. And then teachers started coming to us. Not only teachers, but also facilitators, also organizations. So people that go into, you know, more corporate settings, they're talking about the same skills. And so a lot of our growth has been as a response, actually, from what we're hearing. And we've actually tried to be very empathic in the way that we kind of put ourselves in the shoes of other people and think, well, how are they actually using the toy and where else can it go? And we've been very, very lucky. I think every success we've had has been through word of mouth. And so we had a Kickstarter campaign last January, which was kind of our first time actually.
Was that a lot of effort to get into that Kickstarter campaign?
It was. I mean, we
is
don't.
Is it worth you recommend it? As they wear my Kickstarter watch.
It was great for us, but I think it worked for us because we'd already been developing the toy for the past year. We had communities. We'd won a number of awards within social innovation as well. So.
You shouldn't go there half-baked. You need to have...
No, I mean, it's really... If you're thinking of doing it, it absolutely worked for us. But even for us, it wasn't like we made this beautiful video and we're very proud of it, and now we can go to sleep.
Right.
That's when the real work begins. So we were working... just getting the word out there as much as possible throughout the entire campaign.
So you're in good company because I did interview another Kickstarter campaign entrepreneur in LeVar Burton, Reading Rainbow at ISTE, and formerly of Star Trek.
He did all right.
Yeah, he did.
His Kickstarter did okay.
Yeah, his 5 million in 30 days
was
not bad. So,
yeah.
So you do recommend it, but you have to be fairly down the path and have some credibility.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, above all, obviously, I have a really great idea. Everything is on the video, being able to explain both what your idea is, but why you need Kickstarter. So our message was, we know this toy works, we really believe in it, we've done the work, we just need to mass produce it so that we can lower the price, we can make it more accessible. And this is kind of, that's the stage we're at, and because we don't have any investment, and everything is being through
Fantastic.
Our awards.
Fantastic. What a great success story.
Thank you.
I'm so humbled
it's
by the
happening.
Opportunity. Now, what advice do you offer other startups? Because startups are, you know, students, graduates, are taking control of their ownership, more and more of their learning, and I think they're taking more ownership of their futures, and hence we're seeing a huge trend in the startup area, not just in edtech, but startups in general.
Yeah.
Well, any advice to offer? Besides me having been part of a startup in my company, hard work.
Obviously, definitely hard work. I think hard work is easy when you're doing something that you're really passionate about and you really believe in. Hard work is just feels like, okay, I just have to keep working on it. But I would say that I think from my experience was I started this because I really believed in the toys and I really believed in the product. I didn't start it saying I want to be an entrepreneur. I just said I want this to exist.
Or I want to be rich, because that's oftentimes, if that's a path you want to go down, you might want to invest in some stocks as opposed to a startup.
Well, I do like to say, because we're a social enterprise, but I think that the social sector in general actually should own the fact that you want a sustainable business. I mean, you can't exist off grants and loans and all of that. So we're really hoping that, you know, we're putting ourselves out there and saying, you know, we're a for-profit social purpose business, and that's okay. And what's exciting is that we're getting, you know, that small bit of success right now where people are really investing
embraced.
In us, and we're being embraced. And I would just say that for myself, I didn't study business. That's not my background. I'm an industrial designer. But when I started it, I think it's really about that community. Gonzalo, who was with me right when we started, he was incredible in kind of supporting and helping build the business, helping us connect. And I think just the community and our staff, you know, we've got Ryan, who's our education lead, and Joy, who's our kind of creative technologist, but she really just kind of creates all of the systems.
So
she's done
team.
Everything. The team and really having a purpose that you believe in, and just being able to talk about it and really getting that community around you. We've been very lucky. The Toronto community, we've got the Center for Social Innovation, Mars Discovery District, Spin Master Toys has been incredible. We've just started working with OCAD University's Imagination Catalyst program.
Fantastic.
It's amazing. The Futurepreneur, formerly known as CYBF, they've been incredible. We're so, so lucky to have such a support system, especially within Toronto.
It's exciting times to be in education, isn't it?
It is really, really exciting. I say, for anyone that's starting it, it can be a bit scary and feel a bit lonely, but the second you start telling people what you're working on, you really can start to build that community around you, and yeah. and then you start seeing it modeled. I think
right.
for me as a designer, what was so exciting is that I didn't know too many designers who started their own business, especially ones that right. had a social purpose. And so what I like to say to designers now, especially the ones that work with us, is you can do it. You know, it's possible, and you don't need someone to come up to you and say, you know, do this. If you feel really strongly about something, you can make it work, especially right. with platforms like Kickstarter and a lot of the resources that are out there now helping people kind of start their own thing.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for this.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your passion and your success in 21 Toys. That was Elena Benari of 21 Toys, the founder here at EdCamp TO. My name is Robert Martellacci, the Mindshare Learning Report. And until next time, keep the learning curve steep.